Block Talk Radio, brought to you by Together in Ministry Network. We're building relationship, equipping the body of Christ, advancing the kingdom of God. Now, here's your host, Dwayne and Dennis Paris.
Hello again, Internet World. Welcome to another episode of Together in Ministry Block Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us wherever in the world you are. We have a special program for you today. We have Reverend Alet Edwards, an OBE, and he'll be joining us in a few minutes. But I hope that all of you out there have been checking our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/togetherinministry. Please make sure that you click a like on there and make sure that you follow the radio program. If you click follow on the radio program, you'll be kept up to date with all of our shows. Well, welcome again. Before we get into the show, I would like to play this song for you, and it's one of my favorite songs. The thing is, I'm actually trying to find out who the original singer of the song is. This is a song that was shared with me by a friend, and I've been looking for the actual owner of the song or the actual artist of the song. So if you know the song, send me an email to info@togetherinministry.org. Let me know who it is. So maybe I can have them on the show. Okay, great. Let's go to the song. It's I Love You, Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Allow me to open up my mouth so that you may fill it with praise. Your word declares that I should come into your presence. I love you, Lord, greater than anything. I love you, Lord, more than my heart can sing. I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Spirit and in truth. Let's worship the King of Kings.
Worship you.
Oh, we worship you.
All that my heart would sing, I worship you. All that my life gives praise, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I lift my hand.
I am a sacrifice. Let us focus on Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let us bless Him today. Let us give Him honor. Let us magnify Him and lift Him up, for He alone is worthy of all honor, of all glory, and of all praise. Lord, the kingdom is yours, and we bless you today.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
All my words to you.
I love you, Lord.
Latin Block Talk Radio. Now here is your host, Dwayne and Dennis Paris.
Hello, welcome back to Together in Ministry Talk Radio. I have in the studio with me my co-host, Dwayne Paris, and we have on the line Reverend Aled Edwards. He is the chief executive of Churches Together in Wales. He became Wales' first National Assembly liaison officer in 1999, it was. He has strong interest in issues concerning asylum seekers, refugees, race relations, and equality and human rights. So this is going to be a very interesting show. So I advise you to get on the phone, call your friends, have them join us on this program.
Hi,
Aled,
guys.
Are you there? Hello.
I hope you can hear me well.
Yes, Aled, tell us a bit about yourself and the work you've been doing. Let's get to know who Reverend Aled Edwards is.
Oh, great. It's a privilege to be with you. I come originally from North Wales, brought up very much as an Anglican in the church in Wales, came to a very vibrant faith in my teens and went into the ministry. I served a number of churches in North West Wales, mainly Welsh-speaking communities, and came down to Cardiff in 1993 to be the pastor of a rather large Welsh-speaking congregation down in Cardiff called Dewi Sant. But then when devolution happened back in 1999, as you were saying, I became the first National Assembly liaison officer and became very actively involved with politics. And that opened my ministry and my life to a whole set of issues, mainly around the poor, the vulnerable, and especially around asylum and refugees. Some asylum detainees were placed in Cardiff Prison in 2001. And as a Christian pastor, I could visit through the chaplaincy and then report back to the politicians in Cardiff Bay. And we felt very much that people shouldn't be placed in prison for seeking asylum. And that opened a whole new interest and a whole new engagement with racial justice issues and equality reform.
Okay. I mean, that's quite a mouthful. I'm not sure how should we address you? Simply by your first name, pastor?
Oh, I'll let you.
Yes. We haven't had such privilege or distinguished individuals like yourself joining us in terms of the recognition you've had from the government, particularly the Crown or the Queen. And, we are really honored to have you. And I think you represent a blessing and an example to the body of Christ, because I guess we just want to take the opportunity, first of all, to say we're proud to be, in a sense, associated with you in the broader family of Christ.
Well, mutual feelings, I do assure you, Dwayne. God bless you.
Yes. But it's really, I think, an example of what the 21st Christian should be. So we appreciate that, and we believe that your work, the work you have done and continue to do, is indeed pioneering in some senses, and hopefully goes well into making the case for a unified and stronger body of Christ.
Amen.
It's in that context, I've got a couple of questions. I know there are a number of things that are burning on your heart. I guess the first thing is to know that you said you've been balancing effectively from about 1999, is it?
Yeah.
Politics, active politics, that is, being involved in the Welsh Assembly, yeah?
Yeah.
And church life. You're also a pastor. I mean, how has that been a challenging journey, and how have you been able to balance it?
Well, I keep saying with a smile on my face that my angels work overtime, but they're good angels.
I love that.
But fortunately, I don't have a full-time pastorate anymore, although I preach every Sunday, and I obviously, in my role as chief executive of Churches Together in Wales, I try and visit churches nationally in Wales on a regular basis. But my work as chief executive of Churches Together in Wales expects me to be involved with politics, to serve the churches in some very, very difficult issues. And they've been very, very generous in giving me the time and the space to do that. And I think, you know, when you come to some of the issues with asylum, we've been immensely privileged in Wales to have the ministry of a gentleman called the Reverend Irfan John, who comes from Pakistan, an asylum seeker now employed by the Methodist Church. And he's alongside me, and he's done pioneering work with minority churches, asylum seeker churches. So, yeah, the angels have been busy, but the body of Christ has been even busier around me.
Okay. And that's really a good news story in terms of how we as the church really should be working together.
Absolutely.
I guess I want to jump in on something that appears to be a bit topical, and I'm trying to have you address the whole issue of working together, unity, and what does those two terms, working together and particularly working in unity, means when you are also having to interact with social groups. And the particular one I'm speaking of here is the Welsh Language Society. And I'm saying this also in the context of the fact that you did mention in your opening remarks, introducing yourself, that you were a part of a Welsh-speaking congregation.
Yes.
Yes, well, the question I actually have as it relates to that is that I've noticed on the BBC's website that in response to the recent census, the 2011 census, that society, the Welsh Language Society, is calling for I guess an establishing of the language. Is that correct?
Yes, I mean, what you have to remember is that, you know, Welsh-speaking communities are long-standing in Wales. It's probably the oldest language in Europe. It's certainly one of the first languages of Britain. You know, it's pre-Roman. My guess is, in terms of England, my guess is that somebody like Boudica, for example, would have spoken a form of Welsh. My upbringing in the community of faith and in the community that I belong to was very much through the medium of Welsh. My wife, although she's from Mansfield in Nottingham, speaks Welsh, and all my children speak Welsh.
So
that's part of, you know, of who I am. When I pray, naturally, Welsh is the language that I use. But the issue of the Welsh language is a rich and a complicated one. The Welsh Language Society in particular is a group of people who've protested and campaigned over many years now for the civil rights of Welsh speakers. And they saw themselves very much in the light of what happened, for example, the civil rights movements in America, especially around Dr. Martin Luther King. They're very much committed to peace. And when Welsh speakers are in a way constrained from living their lives reasonably through the medium of the Welsh language, you know, they will protest and they will campaign. And sometimes it's a very controversial issue, but on the whole, I'd say, Wayne, that Wales, particularly in terms of the faith communities, has learned to live very, very well speaking two languages. Because in Wales, in terms of the law, Welsh aspires to be equal with English. So we are formally committed to being a bilingual nation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because, as I said, that was my kind of question, because in the context of, we're living in an ever-changing society, I guess.
Indeed, we are.
And I don't know the history of the language, but I'm speaking, I guess, out of probably a great measure of ignorance, but basically on what I'm seeing here on a website that talks about this protest that is going on. I don't know how deep it is. And again, you said it's kind of, well, not necessarily mirrors, but there are some similarities between that and the civil rights movement in the U.S. But I would like to probably suggest here, I'm just putting something out there, and as you said, it is something controversial, and I'm, I guess, asking you because I think you have a very difficult job probably of balancing all of this because, I mean, Jesus spoke a language that's not spoken anymore. Does it make his kingdom less effective? and I guess, in short, what I'm saying is the language, the Welsh language, worth fighting for from a Christian perspective? And how do you balance the fact that you're dealing with asylum seekers coming into Wales? And, you know, in terms of what do you say to them? Do they have to learn the Welsh language? I mean, what kind of safeguards are going to be introduced? I mean, for you to run for public office, is it necessarily for you to have the Welsh language as part of your, education? You know, and how does the church deal with all of these things, particularly yourselves? What are some of the issues that come across your table, and how do you deal with these difficult situations?
You know, as you can imagine, we are a small organization, we have a small staff team, about 4 or 5, and we have to function publicly in 2 languages. And, you know, that makes life interesting, and sometimes it makes it hard work. But the thing I guess I'd have to say is that the Lord made us all, and the Lord made us in a diversity of cultures and language. So it's not the language that really matters, but it's the people who speak it. And we are now living in a modern Britain where we have a diversity of cultures and a complexity of identities, all of which can be celebrated by God. And I think, for me, one of the sovereign issues of faith is that God gave us sovereignty over many, many things, including complexities in our identities. You've got to remember that in the earlier part of the last century, the Welsh language was used mightily by God to steer a major revival in 1904 that was predominantly through the Welsh-speaking community. And many of us from the Christian faith remember that time with great encouragement. But with the asylum seeker and the refugee communities, we place a great importance on their sovereignty and their choices. Obviously, in the UK, they have to be familiar with English. And that's why in the work that I do, I chair a body called Displaced People in Action. And we've had major successes in taking refugees, helping them to find work. For example, we've had a major project for the past 10 years of retraining refugee doctors. We've trained about 140 doctors for the past 10 years. I think 74 of them currently are working in the NHS. And obviously, you know, Welsh is there in the background, but you have to give them their medical skills, have to teach them English where that is appropriate because that's the qualification. But what we find is that people who come new to Wales now wish to be engaged with the breadth of it. So, for example, 2 schools, public schools in Cardiff, quite close to where I live, about 16% of the children in those schools would come from Black and ethnic minority backgrounds from the newer communities. So there's a blessing in that engagement.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as I said, I just found it, I think, quite interesting and challenging. And it's great to hear yourself and the church, you know, having a balanced view about this. And I guess celebrating, where possible, the history and the heritage that comes with the Welsh language and the things that happen through its use. And also, I guess, embracing the change. Yeah. And what is happening today. So, again, really appreciative of the work.
Thank you. It's just to reflect on it, I mean, you know, you know, obviously as Christians, particularly those because we believe in the Trinity, we can comprehend the diversity and multiplicity. And in creation, of course, God created the multiplicity. So we find it that if we proclaim Christ together and if we honour each other, most of the challenges can be met. And I have a rather, you know, I have a rather flippant joke, but I just thank God that my, you know, the churches that I attend aren't full of people like me. You know, it'd be very, very boring.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but there you go. I have another question for you. And this is more around your appointment in 2006 and 2007 as commissioner of the Racial Equality, I guess, Forum. I guess my question is, how have you been able to move forward God's agenda? And I say God's agenda as opposed to the church's agenda, because I guess in some instances that could be a bit more difficult. But how were you able to move forward God's agenda amongst, first of all, the church and possibly the wider UK? And this is obviously bearing in mind that your particular role meant that you had access, I guess, in this particular area, both to the Welsh Assembly and the UK central government. How were you able to put forward God's agenda?
Well, I mean, it's you know, I'm in an enormously privileged position. You know, I'm not there employed by the state to promote the kingdom as I would see it. I'm there to fulfill the law. But for me, you know, making sure that people are not experiencing discrimination because of the colour of their skin or now for any array of the protected characteristics we call them, those things are deeply of God. You know, of late, I've been asked to move on from that racial justice agenda to take the lead in the commission here in Wales on disability issues. And, you know, I turn to scripture there and I find a God who cares for the widow, who heals the sick, and challenges people who discriminate against individuals, particularly in the colour of their skin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is something that I do believe in. Passionately, I believe it's of the kingdom, and what we do is seek to uphold the law, and the law makes it clear that you are not allowed to discriminate against people because of the colour of their skin, because of their race, and it's good to promote good relations. In Wales, what we've worked hard on is in good community relations. So, for example, when there have been tensions, difficulties with engagement with some radical elements within Islam, because we do talk to each other quite frequently, because we view each other as being honoured by God together, even though we may not have the same faith. We do find the fact that that honouring furthers in my mind the kingdom, and I always find it easier to share my faith quietly, through action and through deed, by honouring other people. You know, frequently when I converse over this issue with some of my Muslim friends, we have been able to establish a dialogue that probably we wouldn't imagine a number of years ago. And Wales is particularly good at enabling those sort of conversations to happen. How I measure it before God, I leave very much to God. You know, everything that I do in the work that I do feel God's hand, and I do feel the privilege of meeting God in other people when they are Christians, when they have other faith, and indeed when they have none and just values, and I enjoy working with them.
So I guess in summary, I can take from your response there that you ensure that while you couldn't probably preach a sermon effectively because you're in a public office, you were able, I guess, to practice the principles of God's kingdom in exercising and administering those particular laws. Is that a fair
Yes, because I believe
assessment? I guess what I'm getting at is the balance. You know, how we as Christians, how can we be effective in the political arena. And
if I can take you to the Bible, I mean, the one of my great heroes in the Bible is Obadiah, who was in Ahab's house. I'm sure you remember him. Where, you know, the prophet Elijah was there in a very public ministry doing what traditionally pastors and prophets do. But when it came to saving the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah, as a civil servant in Ahab and Jezebel's household, saved many prophets. And that sometimes can be a very, very difficult ministry. Sometimes you feel compromised and you have to make hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
But still, God blesses you in the endeavor of saving the prophets. And he is an example of a ministry for me within Scripture that makes a great deal of sense. And sometimes, you know, you have to do good to the degree that your conscience allows and rejoice in the fact that you're there and you're empowered to do these things. And where there are challenges, well, you know, I offer them at the altar of the Lord and say, God, you deal with them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's a really good example for our listeners in terms of, you know, if they have aspirations of their own in terms of stepping into public office. I think the story you cited about Obadiah is an excellent one. And you, obviously your own real life experiences here in the UK, particularly within Wales. I've got another question for you.
Okay.
As we have you here, we'll try to see as much as we can get in. But again, this is around the census.
Yeah.
And particularly one of the I guess the trends that the media, BBC in particularly, reported was the fact that church attendance seems to be down. And this is based on the last census, which was in 2001. It's been going down. And their interpretation of that is that those embracing Christianity is probably falling away. Less people are embracing Christianity. I guess my question is, has that been your experience and the churches you relate to in the Wales country? Has that been your church community? Has that been your experience? Because sometimes these are a bit, you know,
unclear. It's interesting to observe that because I think Christians have not to be too discouraged by the census because it was a question of self-identification rather than church attendance as such. So I think we've got to be careful on that on a statistical level. And I think people now feel more emboldened and capable to say, well, you know, I don't actually have a religion. So that, in one way, is a more honest view. But the church attendances in Wales have been going down quite drastically. We have some churches that have shrunk very, very rapidly and continue to do so. But at the same time, we're also discovering new churches are growing, old churches are growing as well. And sometimes that's, for example, in the Welsh-speaking community, a lot of people have now moved from rural Wales into Cardiff, and two or three churches in Cardiff are growing rapidly. One that I attend called Evelisa, just out of Cardiff, is growing and vibrant. The other thing that I'm discovering is that frequently the movement of peoples has brought around real growth. So, for example, the Catholic community has grown in some places because of people from Poland coming in. And that has been quite interesting to observe. And indeed, Filipino nurses coming in from those sort of backgrounds. And indeed, the other community that I rejoice in is, you know, the Caribbean community and the Pentecostal movement growing in the wake of that. So it's a mixed bag, but the churches overall in Wales are declining, but we are stabilizing in many places, and we're also growing in another sense.
Okay. I mean, that is interesting in terms of the demographics that you've just cited there in terms of Polish and the African community, the Caribbean community, and you know, the changes in the church. Some churches, while they're going down, others are growing. And we want to explore that a bit more after we take a quick break in terms of particularly how the different groups are working together. We want to explore that a bit more and, again, how you in particularly have been assisting and probably facilitating this growing unity and sense of community amongst Christians from all cultures.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic ministry. You know, of late, through the gentleman I mentioned earlier, the Reverend Ivan John, he's had a ministry with the Methodist Church of bringing smaller, newer communities together. We've just had two fantastic Christmas services, one in Cardiff and another in Newport. And it's fantastic to see churches from very, very diverse ethnic backgrounds, but also different churchmanship coming together. So, for example, we've had Ethiopian Orthodox communities worshipping alongside Eritrean Pentecostals. And that's something really, really beautiful to behold. And, you know, what we're also doing well is in terms of the national events that we have cultural festivals, we call them Mr. Voda. And now what happens is that the churches come together to share a tent, to share the same resource. We come together to minister, to pray, to give people refreshments during that festival. And it's probably the most busiest festival tent in the festival. And people will frequently remark, well, it's good to bring Welsh-speakers, non-Welsh-speakers together, and to introduce some of the Welsh-speaking community also to the newer churches, particularly perhaps some of the Orthodox and the Pentecostals from other parts of the world. I must say, when it does happen, something really of the gospel comes into play. I frequently turn to Paul, you know, and that seal of baptism, whether there's neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free.
Yes.
And it's an eternal joy and truth that we should embrace, I think, far more freely. And once that happens, what I find is that the world, if we serve together as Christians through that means, and I find this in the work that I do with the Migration Partnership that I head up in Wales, the people notice that when Christians serve each other well and serve the world together, there's something quite beautiful and appealing about that.
Yes. Okay, I think we're going to take a break now and go to a song, and we will continue with Reverend Alan Edwards after the break.
God bless you.
Latin Block Talk Radio. Now here's your host, Dwayne and Dennis Paris.
Hi, we're back on the air with Reverend Aled Edwards. Reverend Edwards, we were having a really interesting conversation. You were beginning to tell us about the churches working together. In Wales. I've just got one question. You talked about meeting or having these events or festivals.
Yeah.
Or maybe even conferences where the cultures come together and how beautiful that is. Could you tell me what other activities you might be involved in and other members of the wider churches together in Wales might be involved in ensuring that that experience filters into the communities, into neighborhoods, into streets? Because I guess, you know, one may argue that, you know, it's great, we can all come together and have a great time, but then we all go back to our separate places and be individuals again or collective groups again. And I guess that's probably one of the challenges that the wider UK government has had. So could you give us some insight on any of the work that you've been doing to ensure that unity filters into the street next door?
Yeah, well, we've been very privileged in Wales because, you know, the churches have been very active beyond what I do in establishing local communities where people come together. There's a fantastic project in a place called Communities House in Newport where people from all sorts of ethnic minority backgrounds come and just be a community. And sometimes those things can be fairly easy to set up within urban areas where you've got a large number of ethnic minorities being alongside each other in a large population. I think it's more difficult in rural communities where perhaps some of the newer communities are more isolated. And that can be quite a challenge. But we do try through our Racial Justice Forum and the organisation that we serve to actually listen to people's stories. So if people do feel isolated and lonely, we try and make sure that they, you know, they've got good contacts with the local church and that the local church can be used to help them. This has been particularly the case in North Wales, in Wrexham, where I think that the breadth of the Christian family has been very, very active in being alongside some of the newer Polish Christians. And it's constantly hard work, but it's also a joy.
A great work, I guess, in the community. But I guess there are tensions around rights, I guess, for those entering, and I understand with the last sentence, the last census, that polls are leading in terms of migration to the UK, with obviously those from Asia also coming in. But I guess there are tensions amongst the communities, and there are issues you hear from time to time in the media about you know, human rights and their rights, and in some instances cultures wanting to practice things that they probably did in the countries of origin here in the UK. How are we, or how are you involved in any type of human rights activities, legislations, addressing cultural issues? And again, whether or not you've been able to, in a sense, in those legislations, have the principles of the kingdom of God underpinning them? I mean, is there any work you've been doing along those lines?
I mean, you know, I would never use the intensive language of faith in my public work, but I'm a member of the Wales Committee of the Equality and Human Rights Commission, which responds to the work of that organisation within the UK. And the way that we work it in Wales very often is that we emphasise more that when people come in, that we'd want to include them rather than integrate them. And it's a very subtle difference of choice there. And what we tend to say is that when people come here where they have things to offer that are good and things that are contributing to society, that we'd want to celebrate that. But just occasionally you will find customs and practices where we have to say no. And, you know, there are obviously things like, for example, female circumcision, which is always an issue for some cultures.
Yes.
So we have to say very plainly to those cultures, well, I'm afraid if you're in Wales or when you're in the UK, that is not good, it's not lawful, and it simply can't be done. I think what our approach in Wales has been is to say, be alongside of us, teach us, share us. And this has been very, very important in terms of faith because, you know, it's a sadness but a joy that very often people who journey as refugees will have a more vibrant faith and will have come here very much thinking that God has led them to this place. And they find sometimes that our faith is a bit cold, it's a bit apathetic, and, you know, that can be quite challenging to them. But it's a joy for us to experience their faith, and that's the sort of work that we do. But I'm also at the moment, I'm coming to the end of an endeavour where I've served the Welsh Government in advising the UK Commission on the Bill of Rights. And I suspect that they will come through fairly soon now with a report on...
Sorry about that. We were having some technical difficulties. Our call was dropped with Reverend Aled, and we are just going to go to a song and hold on until he gets back through. So enjoy. This is I Love You, Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Allow me to open up my mouth so that you may fill it with praise. Your word declares that I should come into your presence. I love you, Lord, greater than anything. I love you, Lord, more than my heart can sing. I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
I worship
you in spirit and in truth.
I have everything.
Let's worship the King of Kings.
I worship you.
Oh, we worship you.
All that my heart would sing, I worship you.
Hi, I'm sorry we got cut off.
Yes, we did. Some technical difficulties, but I think what you have been sharing has really been good, and we will definitely need to invite you again to share more of your experiences, your walk with God, and all that God has been using you to do, both in the political and church arena. But you were explaining to us about your, latest piece of work with the Welsh Assemblies on the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, for the sake of those listening to us, which is a global audience, what is the Bill of Rights, and how is that going to help in, I don't know, fostering unity, community?
Well, we'll wait and see.
What is the objective?
Because I'm not a member of the Commission. We've just advised it from the Welsh point of view. But I think the UK government and the UK coalition were committed to having a reflection on the place of the European Convention on Human Rights, and to see whether there was a call for a distinctive UK Bill of Rights. What we've done very much from Wales is to say, what are the obligations for us in terms of having a devolved government? Because the Welsh National Assembly and also the Welsh government are bound by the European Convention of Human Rights. It's within the law that created those institutions. So we need to reflect on that and to look really how differently Wales may approach human rights issues, because we do have a slightly more radical sense of engagement on all those issues here down in Wales, and perhaps that would be an aspiration for the UK government.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was helpful in terms of explaining to our listeners what exactly that piece of work was. On, I guess, a slightly lighter note, I understand from Denise that one of your passions is marathons, running marathons.
Yes.
That sounds exciting. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Well, yes, I started about 3 years ago. My son encouraged me to run. He's a PE teacher. But I just come back from the most fantastic experience ever. I went over to run the New York Marathon in November.
Wow.
And I wanted to be with the Obama campaign as well, because that's another interest of mine. And obviously the terrible storm there made that very, very difficult. But I think a number of people of faith came together. Once the race had been cancelled, the official New York Marathon had been cancelled, they brought an invitation together that evening on the Friday to say, well, marathon runners will run anyway. And what we did, about 2,000 to 3,000 of us turned up in Central Park. We ran around Central Park four times, which is 22 miles. And we raised about $17,000, I think, for the emergency appeal down from Staten Island to New York, and raised some clothes. And I've made fantastic friends out of that experience. But I must admit that when I was doing it, I did feel that there was something quite wonderful of God in it. And the people of New York were fantastic, coming out to giving us water and to give us means of sustaining ourselves. Because, as you can imagine, an unofficial marathon was quite difficult. But, yeah, I did it. And, I'm almost 60 years old, of age. I'm 57 at the moment. So to be able to run marathons is something that I thank God for, because it gives me a great deal of time. But I'm so slow, it just gives me time to pray.
That's funny. I'm sure I'm probably slower than you are. I'm younger than you are. So you're not as bad as you might want to say. You did say the Obama campaign is an interest of yours also.
Yes, it was a personal interest. Back in 2008, the Bishop of California came down to the Assembly and he was asking me questions about, our politics and so on. And, I dared ask him at the time, because it was very early in the campaign in 2008, whether he felt that this gentleman called Obama, who was aspiring to be a president then, whether he was worth following. And because he knew I did politics and, did policy around politics, he said, come over. So I spent 3 weeks in San Francisco sharing, and I spent 2 days in New York this time round. But I must admit, it was pretty special both nights. But the night in San Francisco, where, from my background, where I could envisage a man who would probably, 150 years ago in America, being somebody else's property, was now become precedent. And that, for me, was a huge moment in history. Whatever you think about the politics of it,
it is
a huge moment in history. And I was pleased to support him again. Not that I would agree with everything that his administration has achieved, but I think on the whole it's been a good thing, and I do pray for him.
Okay, yeah. But back to your growing, I should say, passion for marathons. Have you registered to take part in either the Great North London?
Oh, the London Marathon.
The Great North Run, I should say.
That's a half a friend. I have a friend, a mentor, this may encourage you. His name is George, and he's a very close friend. And he celebrated his 70th birthday last week, and he did the Great North Run a few weeks ago. So there's hope for all of us. But now I got to the Manchester Run Marathon, and this will come as a surprise to you. It rained a lot.
Wow.
It's very, very cold.
It rained a lot.
Yeah, I think if you can survive the Manchester Marathon, you can survive most marathons. But I've got the Great Welsh Marathon in Llanelli coming up in April. But I really think probably I need to think through doing the London Marathon, and that would be a privilege to do that marathon.
Okay, great.
It
was indeed inspiring hearing particularly of your efforts in terms of the marathon.
Yes.
Friends you've met and the journeys you've experienced and the fact that you feel that God is in the midst of that. And that's indeed encouraging. Maybe encouraging enough to get me out of my bed to do a few runs myself.
I'm sure God will call it. The only thing
I make no comments on that.
But you have to speak to your angels because you tie your angels out when you do marathons.
Okay then, Reverend Adel. We really appreciate the time and the sacrifices you have made to join us and contribute to our conversations around unity, around the whole concept of multiculturalism, and how we as a church need to work together, and the fact that as a church, we really should be shaping the social debates. And we want to thank you really for the work that you've been doing as an individual, as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ. And we've really been encouraged, and we do appreciate your testimony and hope to have you join us again.
It will be my privilege. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yes, you've been listening to Together in Ministry Talk Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. That was Reverend Aled Edwards. He's Chief Executive of Churches Together in Wales. If you would like to find out more information about Reverend Aled, please check our website. It's www.togetherinministry.org. See, myself and co-host are having some tongue-tied issues today. But yes, check out our website, www.togetherinministry.org. And send us an email if you'd like to get in contact with Reverend Edwards. Send us an email on info@togetherinministry.org. Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to join us again next week when we'll have Pastor Philip Isaac. He's an organizational change consultant. He's a pastor, writer, and he'll be talking, sharing with us some of his extensive experience or ministry experience in the area of building relationships, equipping the body of Christ, and advancing the kingdom of God. As you know, that is the mission for Together in Ministry, so he's going to have a lot to share with us on that particular issue. So do join us again Saturday at the same time, which is 8 o'clock UK time, and you can make sure you check to see it's the same time. So God bless you. Keep you, cause his light to shine upon you, give you peace. Have a blessed week. Enjoy. Bye. Thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Yes, you've been listening to Together in Ministry Talk Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. That was Reverend Aled Edwards. He's Chief Executive of Churches Together in Wales. If you would like to find out more information about Reverend Aled, please check our website. It's www.togetherinministry.org. See, myself and co-hosts are having some tongue-tied issues today. But yes, check out our website, www.togetherinministry.org. And send us an email if you'd like to get in contact with Reverend Edwards. Send us an email on info@togetherinministry.org. Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to join us again next week, when we'll have Pastor Philip Isaac. He's an organizational change consultant. He's a pastor, a writer, and he'll be talking, sharing with us some of his extensive experience or ministry experience in the area of building relationships, equipping the body of Christ, and advancing the kingdom of God. As you know, that is the mission for Together in Ministry, so he's going to have a lot to share with us on that particular issue. So do join us again Saturday at the same time, which is 8 o'clock UK time, and you can make sure you check to see it's the same time. So God bless you, keep you, cause his light to shine upon you, give you peace, have a blessed week. Enjoy. Bye.
Amen.